Welcome to the Isaka Podcast. In this She Leads Tech Series podcast, we are joined by Melinda Matthews Clarkson, CEO of CodeClan, which works to address the shortage of digital skills in Scotland. Thank you for joining us, Melinda. Let's jump right in. One of the reasons some women might feel unsure about entering the tech workforce is the disproportionately male nature of that workforce. How big of an issue do you think that is when you consider the underrepresentation of women in tech?
So it is a good question. I don't know whether people that have ambition actually sit there and go, well, you know, it has an imbalance, so I'm not going to go there. But I do think there is a thought process that does happen. Will I fit in? And in the tech industry right now, being especially in the UK and in Scotland, about 17-18% in the tech industry being female, but we are starting to see some changes around it. Within different industries of tech, there's a higher proportion of women. But I think it goes down to the base. Will I fit in? And it's a really important thing, because when I coach anybody about what job that they're going to go to, they need to fit into the culture. And if that culture is very male-dominated, all of the scenarios that get used are ones that just don't relate to a different gender or identity, then it feels uncomfortable. And so I do think that coaching individuals and talking about how to make it comfortable for them is something people should actually bring up. Maybe not in the first interview, but as they are going along, really interview the culture and find out whether that company or that department has the wherewithal to make it more inclusive. And so I do think what we need to do as women in leadership positions and women that are interested in coming into tech is to lead the change and to talk about how the culture could be more inclusive and really to make it ours.
You touched on organizational culture. Which aspects of enterprise's culture do you think are most relevant when it comes to women's perceptions of jobs in technology fields?
Yes. So I even find it even in my own company that I run, just the, oh, let's all go out and have pizza and beer. Okay, now I like beer and I like pizza. There's no question about it. But it seems to kind of become a male thing, and the pub that they go to is one that's a sports pub. And, you know, it could just start to feel like it's a guy's club. And so one of the things that we try to do, especially in the role that I'm in, is educate others, men, to understand what inclusivity means. And a lot of times we're like, but we invited all of the ladies to go to the pub, but they didn't want to go. Well, maybe because the pub wasn't inclusive. And so what we try to do is push on the culture to think, does this resonate with all of the staff? Can we find something that's a bit more neutral so that we can do that? So that's one. The second is, and I don't think it's as prevalent anymore, but people who have child care challenges. I find child care challenges are now almost becoming gender neutral. You know, I got to go pick up the kids, or somebody else has to go pick up the kids. It's not usually just the females anymore, as maybe, you know, the news and some other things are trying to hold us back to the 1960s. But I do think being conscious that not everybody has the same outdoor time or out of work time, and not penalizing them for it. And I think that's one of the things that women do feel a lot. Like, if I didn't go to that event, I didn't get to be part of the camaraderie, so it kind of puts me on the outside, so I end up just going to work and just doing my job and leaving. And that's the culture we've got to watch, so that everybody feels that there's a camaraderie, that we could do things together. And I'm not saying you got to love all of the people that you work with, but there's a time that everybody can socialize and network outside of just doing the actual job. And so, again, I'll go back to, sometimes we have to lead that cause. Sometimes we have to suggest it. And even in my organization, I've had some gentlemen come up to me and say, Melinda, I don't even understand what you mean by inclusion. Everybody can go to the pub. What do you mean? And I think we need to educate men about what that means. And that's a bigger, easier initiative to explain, so that they can be aware versus smashing them because they were unaware and they didn't do something right.
What are some strategies for someone who is the only woman in a given client meeting or conference session? What are some ways to make that a better experience, or at least to get through it in a way that is more comfortable for women who might struggle with that dynamic?
It's a great question, Jay, and I coach people on this all the time, and I actually had to coach myself. All through my career, I have been either the only woman at the table that was, let's say, in sales, but the marketing, there was a woman in marketing, right? So it was always that too, or somebody in HR. And so we were the typical, you know, I might have been just the one woman in. I've been that many times in my life. And there's a great book. I won't plug the author, but I'll say it's 101 Ways That Women Sabotage Their Career. And in it lists so many of the things that we naturally do because we want people to feel comfortable. And so we will offer the coffee. We will become the hostess of a meeting, a conference, a workshop, or even a department. And that's the complete no-no. We need not to fall into the stereotype. We need to be there as an equal. Because if we fall into the stereotypical aspects, nature takes over, and then we kind of feel that. You know, all of a sudden someone's like, hey, could you order the cake and could you make the photocopies and do those kind of administrative tasks that in the past might have been handed to a female more than a male? You need to take away that urge. And that is much more difficult than you believe, is to not be that nurturer that we've kind of grown into. So number one is to coach yourself about not to fall into some of those stereotypical things. Two, remind yourself every day you have every right to be an equal at that table. And then the third is, and I'll never forget, one of the most aggressively male bosses I've ever had turned to me, and I'm someone who doesn't keep my mouth shut. He turned to me and said, you're not speaking up enough. You are here as an equal, and we want your opinion, so give it. And that's another hard one to do, because I think women sit back a little bit and they listen. And we take it all in, and it's not that we're not actively participating, but we're quietly participating. And so there has to be elements that we talk about, that we put our voice in there. And then how to go do that to be impactful. Doesn't make a difference what gender you are. You know, learning how to make impactful statements or impactful presentations is something that you can learn. It's a skill that you can be trained on. But those are the three. Don't fall into the stereotype. Hold yourself back. Know that you have every right and you are important in that meeting at the same level as everybody else. And number three, make sure that you make an opinion, have a voice, and have some impact to it. Just showing up and being at the table doesn't move it forward, doesn't give you the type of thing that you're there for. And it's to succeed and build a company or be a great person in your role or to be a leader or what have you.
What are the most compelling reasons that organizations should be looking to prioritize diversity, and I suppose gender diversity in particular, in their workforce?
So all the studies have shown about gender diversity, or diversity in general, helps a company look more like their clients and raises the productivity. So those two different things. One, do you look like your client? And is there insight, because you have a broader scope of insight from your employees to help your clients, your business grow and such? So those are basics, and I don't think anybody would argue those in today's market. But the other side is you change the dynamics of the culture of the business. And I'm seeing that even in my business. It was a very male-oriented, and if people don't know, I'm the CEO of CodeClan, and what it is a digital skills academy for people who want to learn programming. And we would initially say, okay, programmers are guys, they hang out in kind of sloppy basements, they don't care if the couches, you know, the cushions are right, they're always in t-shirts, and, you know, a shower is optional. And, you know, that stereotypical is because it kind of fits. And so trying to change the culture a little bit by having a diverse group of people, you start to see it get a little less, I'll call it the college basement look, to a bit nicer to be around. And I also see the males here enjoying the fact that now it's more co-ed, and the conversations happen differently, and the activities are happening differently, and people are learning differently. And it's I just see it as a positive thing all around, and that's how we are in society. So, you know, all genders are in society, and I think our businesses should be too. What I really like in ours here is that I see the supportive natures be more upbeat because the dynamics have changed in its gender ratio. And let me explain that. In our profession here, let's say the class, you always have somebody that's going to want to be the head smarty pants, right? And the competitiveness. And because what we notice is when the class is maybe 50% women or 40% women, the competitiveness comes down and people learn better. They're more focused on the learning than they are in competing. Now, I don't know if that's a testosterone mix or not, but it seems to calm it down. And so the gender balance is good for everybody in the room, and more learning happens than being more competitive.
So, aside from steering clear of those college basement style furnishings, what are some additional ways that organizations should do a better job of presenting their technology roles in ways that might be more appealing to women?
So, as you know, Jay, I put a lot of thought into this question. You know, how could corporations that have tech roles open attract more women? One, we've learned from Equate Scotland and many others that if you change your application process and you change how you advertise your job, you will get more a more diverse response. Now, personally, I looked at that, and I am all those words that people say we shouldn't use for women. I'm feisty. I definitely can be bossy. You know, I definitely am a competitive. I'm aggressive, you know, all those things that they say don't put in the ad. But that's okay. You know, don't put it in the ad. I'd still go for it anyway. Now, once the ad happens and you start to do the interview process, they also say that if people didn't look at the name on the CV or the resume, it is amazing how that you just read it and you get a more diverse population to interview. And that we still have name biases that come across. And so one, I'd suggest the companies blacken out the name and let people read through the CVs/resumes without having a gender bias. And number three, whoever interviews the females to bring them into tech, make that individual not have a t-shirt that's been like through the wash so many times it doesn't fit, that they look like they got up and were neat and tidy. People don't want to, you know, to the point about the college basement couch, there's still a lot of people in tech that think that that look, because it's comfortable and, you know, hey, they're just in front of a PC all day, or that doesn't matter. It really does matter. And I'm not saying that women are all about the shallowness about how somebody looks. That's not the case at all. But if you wouldn't feel comfortable having lunch with that individual as your peer or boss, you know, we take pride. I think maybe women take a higher pride in who they work for and who their boss is and who their colleagues are. So there's a little bit about bringing it up a level.
At ISACA's EuroCAX conference earlier this year, you mentioned the need for women to be brave and get gritty. Can you elaborate on that notion?
Sure. I love the get gritty bit. And to anybody that's listening, it was put out there by Angela Duckworth. She did a study back in 2013 about why her, I think they were 8th grade students, not quite sure, it could have been 6th grade, but why some of them weren't doing well when they had the highest IQ. And the research showed that although highest IQ, you know, can be a factor of success, but it isn't the key factor of success. And it's really about being gritty, and that's being having perseverance and resilience and a growth mindset and looking at the longer term plan and really showing up and being present is so important to success. And I truly believe that women, we have so much of this that we do on a daily basis, but we don't outwardly show it. And so I really encourage women to give things a go. There are so many, well, maybe, you know, if, and oh, and so I always go through what are the three things that can happen. And when you go through a little exercise to say, should I go for that job? Okay. And you could go through the three things that can happen. You go for the job and you don't get it. You go for the job and you do get it, or you go for the job and they realize that you're amazing and that job doesn't fit you, but there's another job that does, or they create a job that's perfect for you. So in any of those scenarios, stepping forward and doing it, being brave, will always get you some type of result. Either you'll learn because it didn't work or you had some failure, you'll learn that it was very successful, or you'll learn that you took in more information and you could find a compromise. So I think women sometimes don't try. They stand back because they come up with all the negative things that could possibly happen, and that's not truly the case. An example, we had a digital women's group and little chat the other day here with some of our students, female students, and they were just about to go out for jobs. And the other speaker, her name is Jen Finn, who does coaching for women, said, just get out there, go for it. And we really pumped up these young ladies to think about the career they wanted and the company they wanted and all. And one turned around a week later, said, let you know, I took your advice. I just did it. I found the company I really wanted to work for. I called them up. I gave them my intention. And they called me back. And I got to tell you, her confidence was so high. And then she went for an interview. And she then said what she really wanted out of a job and what her intention was about her career and what she wanted to be. And they offered her the job. And she is employed before she's even finished the course. So being brave, all I've seen is when people are brave is positive results. And so I just encourage people to do that. I also encourage them to make sure that there's somebody around them in case it doesn't go all right to bounce off what happened so they can find the aspect of the silver lining in the cloud. So be brave, be courageous, be gritty, and good things will come.
How can women go about finding mentors within the tech workforce?
What I find, and this is kind of one of my soapboxes now, thank you to you, Jay, is to get people to raise their hands to be mentors and coaches is one, but also to encourage people to ask. I think a lot of times people think that there's got to be this mentor program and you've got to sign up on Eventbrite and you need to put in your name and all these things and fill it up. It doesn't have to be that complex. You just have to ask. And I'm all about intentions. And I talk to women all the time and I say, wow, you know, my intention is to be very networked in Scotland. As you can tell, my accent is not Scottish, and so I am trying to get a better network here. Will you mentor me in networking through the maze? And I just ask people, and they'll say, sure, have a cup of coffee. And that mentoring could be half an hour, 45 minutes, but it's so helpful, it's so insightful, and I always take a nugget away. So I think there are mentors. I think people aren't asking for them, and or maybe they don't know where to ask for them. And I would have to say LinkedIn is an amazing aspect if you write, you know, I've been reading about you, and I'm trying to get into the tech world, and I'm looking for some insight from people who have done it. Could we just have an email conversation? Could we have a phone conversation? Could you lend me some of your insight? And I would probably say a lot of people would not say no. So I think we just have to be a bit gritty and ask.
Thank you so much for your time today, Melinda. You've definitely given us a lot to think about. Before we wrap up, you've stated that it is an amazing time to be a female in technology. How so? And how can women go about capitalizing on this being such a great time?
Okay, so this might be one of those selfish things, ladies. We're wanted. We're needed. One, companies need diversity. They need to understand what inclusion is. They need to have the insights that women have. And so you're in demand. So if you're in demand, what an amazing place to be, right? So if you're out there in a career already, time to sit down, you want to talk about equal pay, maybe you want to talk about new initiatives, you can set your agenda a little bit because you are in a great place. I always say, I always love being a bigger fish in a smaller pond, and that's what we are. We want to be in an equal size pond, no question about it. And I am sure in 10 years from now, Jay, you and I are going to be talking about how do we get more men into tech. But at the moment, you know, we're big fish if they can get us in a small pond, meaning there's not a lot of women. And so you can set the agenda. I find here, even with the women that come out of Code Clan, all of them have jobs typically within the first 3 weeks. They're just snatched up. And so we coach and train them on how to ask for what they want. Do they want flex work hours? Do they want more money? Do they only want to work 3 days a week? You know, what is their demand, really? Because they are in demand. And I think that'll go probably for the next 2 years at least until we can get the percentages a little bit more even. Especially in the UK, we are seeing the gender gap being approached politically, we're seeing it done through the media and publicly. So it's pretty hard, I would have to say, right now to walk into a company who didn't start out pretty equal in pay. And so I just think it's a great time to be a female in tech.
That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. To find out more about ISACA's She Leads Tech program, visit sheleadstech.isaca.org.